You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC. So if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
The best reality check you can ever get in life is seeing the people that dating apps suggest to you.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is the Social Hour. On today's show, author of the book Plenty of Fuck-Ups, Dating After 50, Tammy Caprice. And now your host. He thinks dating after 50 sounds more like a challenge on Fear Factor. Deese Casillas.
Mullum Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. Welcome back. Thanks for coming back for another episode of the program. We got a great show lined up for you this week. We thank you guys for continuing to revisit us and come back now that we're finally back on this weekly schedule. I know I've been talking about it for all of last year, trying to get back on the weekly schedule, but I did it. We're there. We're here. Been doing it in 2024, and crazy enough, we are creeping up, I just realized, on 10 years of this show. It launched in late June of 2014. So we'll be celebrating 10 years of the Social Hour soon. So we appreciate y'all for listening, hanging in there, those who've been with us from the start, and all the changes and everything that's happened over the years. So it's been a wild adventure. But again, back weekly schedule. We've got new guests, new stuff coming up. So yeah, thanks for hanging in there. If you like what you hear, tell a friend. Let us know. Rate and review us on your app, podcatcher, wherever you find finer podcasts and also lesser podcasts like this. And also, guys, as usual, go to deesecomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live dates coming up. As you guys hear this, I will be starting my tour next Thursday. I will be in Yakima, Washington, kicking off the tour with my good buddy Simon Kaufman on the 11th. So check dates on the calendar. I'll be all through the Northwest, then coming back through the Southwest. Everywhere, tickets moving fast already, dates all over, so check it out, guys. Back on the road, new material, and you can still get the special Not Your Cup of Tea with our promo still going on the website. Again, you can just, it is all donation based only, so you can pay whatever you want, name your price, $5, $10, you can even do it for $1, dick move, but you'll still get the special. And you'll get the download for Own It Forever. So go check that out. We appreciate it. So that's it for the commercials, guys. We're going to get into it with our guest today. She comes to us from somewhere in the Eastern Seaboard, Eastern Time Zone. I don't know where yet, but we're going to find out. Author of the book Plenty of Fuck-Ups, a book about dating after 50, Tammy Caprice. Tammy, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Where are you coming from on the East Coast there?
I'm coming from upstate New York, Sullivan County.
All right. Is that like by
beautiful Lake Huntington, New York?
Okay. Is that like towards Buffalo, Westchester? What do you?
No, I'm only 2.5 hours from New York.
Okay.
I'm near the original site of Woodstock, so we're a big tourist destination.
Oh, I see. You know, I've been all over the country, all over the world, and I've still never been to New York yet.
Oh, wow. Well, this is upstate. I'm originally from Jersey, next to New York, so I love it up here.
Is there a weird energy about people from New Jersey and you come to New York, they're like, we're New Yorkers, you stay in Atlantic City and take your crappy boardwalk and all
right. Yep. But I came up here as a child, so I was accepted.
You were born and you were raised there, so it can't
I came up in summer, so I knew everyone in town. Everyone was nice to me when I moved in. I didn't have any of that, thank God.
Yeah. Do you go into the city a lot?
Not anymore. I used to live right next to the city in North Bergen,
okay.
Hudson County. So I went to school in the city. I used to go all the time.
Yeah.
Now I hear it's horrible. So
sure. Yeah, I hear that too. I think a lot of major cities are, though. So it's part of the front. Everyone always tells me, because I've been all over. I've been so close to New York. I've never made it in New York State, even let alone the city. And everyone always tells me, like, oh, you got to go sometime. And I'm like, I don't know. I grew up in LA, and like, I know it's different. I know it's definitely different. But also, I imagine, you know, you get to a big city, like, it's just a lot of city. It's a lot of stuff. It's busy. Like, it's not, I don't know.
It's exactly. We used to go on Sundays to Chinatown. All the Jews love Chinatown. Sure. So my dad used to take us Sundays religiously. That's fun. The galleries are great. The restaurants. But then you get home, you're like, oof. You know, you feel like a load is off.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. But also, it's so crazy, you know, because back in the day, big cities had a draw because they had, like, you know, a little more culture. They had museums. They had amusement parks. They had the best food. But now it's like, I mean, I live an hour from Austin. You want to talk You want to talk about good food, you know? Like, I mean, you're like, you can go to almost anywhere and find. I mean, you go to Nashville and you're going to find stuff that's out of this world. You know, you're probably not going to find like a Michelin-rated Indian restaurant, but you're going to find some amazing food.
Yeah, I miss Chinatown. That was pretty authentic.
Yeah.
But you know, like you're saying, and you're in Texas.
Yeah, I live in San Antonio.
Oh, wow. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
It's always fun. I never know because, you know, San Antonio is, we're three and a half hours from Houston. We're about four and a half hours from Dallas. So I never know. We don't have a football team. So I never know, like, you know, are you a Houston's fan? Are you a Cowboys fan? People are, I think it depends on who's doing better that year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm a Raiders fan because I'm a, you know, I grew up in LA in the 80s. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing better.
They're doing better. I never have high hopes, but I'll, you know, just is what it is.
Dallas does the same thing every single year. So I don't know. The same damn thing. They get to the playoff and then.
Yeah. How'd you end up a Dallas Cowboys fan with all the teams out there on the East Coast?
My brothers were huge football fans, so I was raised in a football house, okay. And my brother said I used to love the star on the helmet.
Okay.
So as a little girl, I followed Dallas.
You just thought it was the Star of David? You're like, that's our team.
Oh, my God. Like, I never thought of that.
You're like, is that our team? As we, yeah.
Stars in the sky.
Yeah, there's no.
But
there's
Jets are my second home team.
There's no no one named Berkowitz that's a wide receiver, that's for sure. They own the team. They're not on the field. They're too. that's so funny. Because people out in, especially in your, well, lots of areas, Dallas, you know, Texas, all is big football, but East Coast people are very
Giants,
you know, big, diehard fans, you know, so they're into it. You know, if they're like, I'm a Knicks guy or I'm a Nets guy, and it's like, we're gonna fist fight about it, you know, or Mets or Yankees, you know.
Yes, I went to Dallas. I went to Giants Dallas in Dallas gear. Never again.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
That's
I thought
risky.
I was going to be murdered.
It's a risk. That's a
Things
risky
Things were
move.
Thrown at me.
Did Dallas win at least?
Oh, it was when Deion Sanders was on the team.
Oh,
and let me tell you something.
God.
He is tall.
And
you never realize. He was like, my nose would be up to his waist.
Yeah.
I saw him right from the field. I don't really remember if they won or not.
Well, you know, you get enough Zimas in you at a game, you're
yeah,
it doesn't
you
matter.
You could really sneak in a lot of liquor back then.
It's funny with professional, with professional athletes, when you watch them on screen, there's no perspective because they're all gigantic, you know. But then you see him next to normal people, because, you know, you're like, oh, it's like Deion Sanders. He's probably like 6'1", you know. And then you see him in person, you're like, oh, no, he's has to be gigantic to play in.
He was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild. So have you born and bred East Coast, always stayed in that area? No desire to go anywhere else?
Oh, well, I'm weird. I like the cold. I want to go where it's colder. I want to go to Alaska.
Just keep going hit Ontario. You're almost the, you know.
Not really. I'm only 2.5 hours from New York, so we don't even get snow anymore. Everyone up here is a snowmobiler. I have a lake across from me. They ice fish.
Yeah.
It didn't even freeze this winter.
Really?
So, yeah, we're not that far from New York. That's why we get all the tourists and everything. I have relatives in California. I've been there. I heard that isn't that great anymore.
No,
Orange County. They're in Orange County, though.
Yeah, a little nicer.
Yeah.
They're really good at gentrifying in Orange County. So, Like, oh, you only drive a C-Class. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bust it down to San Diego, buddy. Keep it moving. Orange County is a wild place. I lived in North Orange County for a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Costa Mesa, which is like barely Orange County because it's like North County, which is still can be not quite. It's not like South County where you're talking Newport and Mission Viejo and Dana Point, places like that, where
they were near Dana Point.
Yeah.
My grandmother was in Leisure World, which she dubbed Seizure World, because a woman was in the pool for a while, and my grandmother pushed her. She was dead. Nobody even knew it. She was floating. So she calls the place Seizure World.
That's so funny. That brings up a memory I forgot I had. I actually, so years ago, we're talking 20 years ago, I worked at a Lazy Boy furniture store in near Newport Beach, and we sold so many recliners to people who were almost every other delivery was to Leisure World. I forgot about that place, and we called it Seizure World also. So
that was like a
colloquial term, I believe. So
and then I was at the pool, I was in the locker room, it was raining, and a woman was actually crying, "It's raining." They were in tears.
That's so funny. God, oh man, yeah, that's bringing up a lot of memories. The I always ask people who are from New York, and you know, you're not super hot on it, the city and stuff like that. But if you were to like have to tell someone a reason they should come to New York, or what they should do if they were in New York, that's not like the typical tourist, you got to hit Broadway, you got to see the, you know, Empire State, but like, what are the things an insider you would tell them that they should go do or see?
Oh my goodness. I would tell them to try to hit an underground bar. Is great experiences. It depends. They can go the red light district.
All right.
That is mad cool. And there's a biker section. They should do that. And they should go somewhere that's known to have like cool drinks. The tattoo artists in New York City are unparalleled.
All right.
Something like that. I would go Soho. That would be cool. Chinatown. Windows on the World was great. That's tourist. I did that before 9/11. So I would have said do that.
I like how your first few things you said is you're like, well, get drunk, find a hooker, and get a tattoo. that's your top three. I think I can.
The Red Light District doesn't just have to be sets. It has really cool, like the really cool restaurants around it, and it's a little more fun.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're eating out in the red light district, it has two meanings.
Or Or go to a famous person's restaurant, like Bobby Flay's or somebody on the Food Network channel. Yeah. It's not that expensive, and it's a nice vibe. It's fun.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure one day I'll make it to New York, and I will have to figure out what I'm going to do with my time. But, yeah, for now, I don't see it. It's not on the calendar this year. I know that. So
yeah.
So tell us about you and this book you wrote. You wrote a book called Plenty of Fuck-Ups. It's about dating over 50. When did you write this book?
My girlfriend and I wrote it. It's mainly my experiences. Mm-hmm. She put a few in by herself and she edited it.
Got it.
So we wrote it 2016, but we didn't really market it or have it on the market. We're just like now starting to put it on Amazon. And
well, you got to get like the extended version, add extra chapters now, I'm sure, in the last 8 years.
Yes, we should. But she had it on wrong. She had it on free. We took it off, but now we're back.
Yeah.
With Plenty of Fuck-Ups, the horrors of online dating.
So what was the, I mean, obviously the catalyst was online dating.
Right.
What was there one particular story or one incident that made you be like, I got to tell people about this?
Yes. Every date I had, I was married for 25 years and I was very naive. So when I started Plenty of Fuck-Ups, I thought I was going to find a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I really did. I didn't realize that they were all, I mean, I don't even understand. I had one date that I went, and they say, don't bring them to your house, but I didn't care. I'm one of those people. I'm not careful. I thought, I'm in shape. I'll kill them or something. Yeah. You know, I didn't care. My house was under freaking construction. It was falling apart in the cold. And the guy comes in, he doesn't look like his picture. And he throws like a thing at me. I'm an airline pilot. I go, okay. So then I don't know why he had to tell me that. So we go out to eat. I pick the place and he's feeding me martini after martini, thinking he's going to get me drunk, which isn't going to happen. I have a high tolerance. So he did, what do they call that? Polka runs. But I thought he had said poker runs, but he did polka, like polka.
Like polka music?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he takes me outside and goes, my son was in China at the time, and he goes, sing to the tree, sing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, so I can hear your voice. I'm like, really? So I had to sing so he could tell me whether I was an alto or soprano.
Yeah, would you?
So I think I don't know. He goes, you need more air. Like, I wasn't singing that good. And like, then he schlepped me all over and he's like, I used to, the Villa Roma's up here. He was bringing me all over. He didn't want the date to end. And then, I mean, he was just crazy. He promised my house was under construction. I didn't have heat. He promised me wood. The next day he calls me and he goes, I'm in a hotel. I'm thinking of you. You should have come. We could cuddle. So I go, cuddle leads to sex. I'm not doing that on the first date. And he's like, sex? Sex? Oh, my God. It was just crazy. But that's not even, that was just one of them. One of the many crazy experiences.
No one in the history of straight men has ever just cuddled.
Right.
Yeah. So that... So are you currently still single then?
No, I'm seeing someone. But I mean, I had another guy come in. We went all over the place and he comes in, you know, to, again, my house. They don't care if your house is on fire. They'll come in and sit on the couch freezing, no heat. They don't care.
Yeah.
And he comes in and on the way back from the date, he goes, do you want it? Do you like chocolate? And I'm like, okay. He goes, what? I'm getting dark chocolate. I go, okay. So he comes in and then he goes, I'm going to kiss me goodnight and takes a piece of dark chocolate and shoves it in my mouth and goes, he goes, this is so cool. This is what we do. And I was like, I pushed him away. I'm like, go away. No way. And he's like, you want me to leave? And I said, yes, leave. And he comes back in and grabs the bar of dark chocolate and leaves. Well, yeah, so his name's Dark Chocolate in my date.
Yeah, well, you know, if the date's not going any further, he paid for the chocolate, right? He should at least get the...
I know, I should have at least gotten the dark chocolate.
That's so... Mm-hmm. My God. Yeah, I mean, so how quickly... So you were, let's rewind. You wrote this in 2016. What year did you start your online dating adventures?
Of 2016. That's when you did. I was going on a date every weekend.
Sure, sure. What were you using Plenty of Fish?
Plenty of Fish. Okay. That's why the book's called Plenty of Fuck Ups.
Got it. And that's the only one you were on.
Yeah, okay. I don't think there were that many in 2016, were there? I don't know.
I mean, there were a couple, but I think that might have been the main one. So like, how quickly did you realize that this is the world, the world of dating had drastically changed?
It took me a lot of dates. I'm telling you, I was so naive. I sound really naive. I mean, at the end... I kept thinking I was going to get a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So well, you did
eventually.
I'd say eventually after some women after one, maybe three dates would know, but it took gullible, naive me like 10.
10 dates? 10 dates with the same person or 10 dates?
No, okay. 10 different. The only guy that made it through is with the guy I'm with now.
So everyone else was one date.
One or two days. Yeah, one date. One date.
Oh, my God.
One guy was very disappointed. One guy was two dates. But on the second date, he picks me up in this car. I've never seen it. It had like a top that opened and was a very luxurious. So we had a car. We had some very good combo. We went on a second date. At the end of the second date, he goes, I'm very disappointed in you. And I was like, why? He goes, you didn't go back to my place and have sex with me. I'm like, okay.
So that happened at the end of the second date or after the
second
date?
Yes, the second date. That was the ending.
That was, so he said that you didn't have sex with him after the first date or
the second date. I thought we're getting to know each other. Yeah. And, you know, he was pretty cool. He was like some artist or something. And he's like, I'm so disappointed in you at the end of the date. I was like taken aback.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you disappointed in me? And he goes, well, we didn't go back to my place and have sex. And then he asked me to go. He goes, want to go? I said, no.
Well, you have to appreciate his candor at least. So, you know, do you have kids, Tammy?
Yeah, they're older.
They're all older. So, I mean, have you talked to them about your dating life and how this, you know, since I'm sure they're all have probably more modern dated in this era?
Not really. I didn't tell them about these. They would have been mad at me for...
Well, I hate to break it to them. There might be a book about it.
They're not reading it. There was another guy, he had a lap band on and we were eating and he's like, I'm just going to go up my diet. I'm going all for it. Before that, I had been counseling him about losing weight, which is stupid. Do not talk to these guys too much. They get too familiar. They think you're going to be like this guru who's going to save them. And then they meet you, they're disappointed. So he's eating pasta. And then next thing I know, he runs to the bathroom and he pukes. And he's like, I puked all over the place. And I'm like, okay. He goes, 1 second less, it would have been on the floor, because he went and ate too much on the day. We call him Lap Band Chuck.
Things have changed so much with the invention of online dating. Because there's just, I feel like there's just, there's always another, the next, you know, there's no, there's an endless supply of meeting people.
There's always the next. I had guys running game. I had some guys here that wanted to use this place to sell stolen stuff. Like, I had no idea, you know, we had been texting. They sounded normal. And another thing they do is talk about their ex-girlfriends ad nauseum. When they do that, bail, go to the next one.
Seems like a bad idea. Yeah, because, I mean, especially in a big city, there's just an endless sea of people, you know? Like, if you're on an app where you can swipe, you swipe forever and you never run out, you know? And if you do, you just expand your reach to 35 miles instead of 25 or whatever.
Right. So. I mean, then we wrote what not to do. You know what I mean? At the end of the book, we told women what they shouldn't do.
What shouldn't they do? What's the tips?
Don't message. Like, my mistake was texting. And then if they don't text you back, they're not interested. Don't ask, how are you? Don't do that. Just, you know, a man, if he wants you, he's going to text you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't serial text, we put. Don't become emotionally involved before meeting the person, you know? And don't talk on the phone, wasting your time for weeks, because once you meet and you don't have sex with them, you're not going to have a relationship. You just wasted weeks, you know, of your time. Don't tolerate bad talk about their ex-wives. One guy came, the lap band Chuck was talking about his cunt of a wife and ex-girlfriend. I should have bailed.
Yeah.
Right then, but no. Make sure you see a recent photo that clearly shows what they look like. More is better, because they don't put recent.
I've always said that for dating profiles, you should have to, like, everyone should have to, like, stand on one of those scales that they weigh like a porpoise at the zoo, and hold up a picture of that day's New York Post with the date clearly visible, you know, and then like a nickel for scale. But like just so you know that this is the most up-to-date thing you can find.
Yeah, and then make sure your photos are recent, like our photos are recent, and don't send them too many photos, because they ask for ad nauseum photos, and don't put a picture of your photo at the gym, so when you're in a top after sweating and they ask if you're cold, don't do that. First date, meet for coffee, tea, ice cream in a public place. I was out at restaurants, I guess that was public. Don't let them in your house. I did. And don't go out for dinner on the first date, because having a meal with someone you realize you can't stand is draining torture.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like coffee here, midday coffee is the best first date, I feel like, because it's very approachable. It's short, but it can be long if you want it to be.
Right.
And also, midday feels much less like a date than, it feels less intimate than like nighttime.
Right. And you then know? You're not stuck away with their weird, odd behavior. Yeah. I mean, I had one guy that kept texting me. We went out for a date. He was like slobbering, and his shirt looked like a collage by the time he was done of artwork. And he kept texting me FTM. FTM, and I'm like, he was a tile worker. I'm like, oh, maybe you could help me, my house needs tile. He goes, you couldn't afford me. So right then he's like, FTM, and I go, what does that mean? He goes, fat thumbs Nick. And I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, I use my thumb up your I don't even want to say it, up your butt, up your, I'm like, oh my God. So his name in the book is Fat Thumbs Nick.
Okay. God.
Yeah. I don't understand why he kept doing FTM every time he texted, but
yeah, it's like his moniker. He's well known on the streets.
I guess. And then we also have as don't show too much cleavage on the first date, as men will think this is you're an easy catch. I said dress like a nun, but yeah, you know. And then let the man pursue you, of course. And make the first date short and sweet. Take your own car and hammer. We're kidding. Don't get in, because I went into strangers' cars.
Yeah.
And a man isn't the one until he proves that to you. Go into the date with little or no expectations.
Yeah.
They will smell the desperation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. we do. Yeah. What? How do you feel about who should pay on a first date?
I always, well, I'm old, so men.
Yeah. but goddamn feminism butts up against that, right? How do you, I mean, things have changed, right? I mean, it's so every, you know, there's, it's so funny because always, you know, women are always like, yeah, yeah, we want to be the same and equal and this and that, but also we don't want to pay for the first date or you know, hold the door open. It's like, well, is it the same or is it not the same? So, it seems like more now people are splitting on first dates, or they're whoever asks the other person pays, which makes a little sense, you know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It seems like that's also, I will say to ladies out there, a piece of advice. If you are willing to pay for your half, it also reduces the expectations greatly. It changes the dynamic of the date.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if you're letting them pay, then there's some, like, oh, yeah, this is a date. This is going somewhere. Whereas if you're like, I'll pay for my half, it kind of draws a line in the sand of, like, this is still neutral, you know?
Right. That's a good idea. That should be put in my in the things of what to do at the end of the book. Pay for half so there's no untoward expectation.
Right. Because it's you know, expectations can be, whether valid or not, can be built in a date so easily or misread, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. Yes. Then I had another date where he was so flaming. Like, my friend, she set me up. She goes, oh, he's wonderful. So I had makeup on, and he wanted ice cream. So that was a good one. We met for ice cream. So I go on the date, and he's like, oh, my God, your hair is just gorgeous. Oh, my God. I'm eating ice cream, but my sisters are cooking for me later. I mean, why was he even trying? You know?
He ordered a frozen banana and just deep throated it.
Telling me how gorgeous my arms were. It was very weird.
That's so, yeah. So how did you meet your current significant?
It was on Plenty of Fish, believe it or not. Okay. But he came from far away, like an hour and a half, and he made 8 dates without being a jerk.
Oh, wow. Oh, so yeah. The ninth date, kind of, he was a jerk, but you still let it slide?
No, he made that, you know what I mean? He made 8 dates, then he got me by Dallas Cowboys were playing on the playoffs, and he had a widescreen TV, and I went to his house.
Okay.
But I would not go to his house before 8 dates.
Did, on the first date, did you have a, was there any, like, okay, this is different, or did it take a couple dates before you?
I didn't like them.
No? Why not?
No. I don't know. I didn't take them seriously or something. I didn't like, it took a while. He was like, he was like really kind. And then I had a dental emergency. He came all the way down from PA and brought me the dentist. Oh, so wow. He was a little different.
Yeah, yeah. Were you like, this is so desperate and pathetic. Get back to Pennsylvania. You're like,
no, he had like a little thing of workout clothes. I work out. It was nice.
Oh, wow.
And then he went back to PA right after the dentist. And I was thinking, wow, does he like me or not? That's when I start to like him.
That was the turn of the corner.
Yes.
So do you think how long has he been together now?
A few years, a couple years.
Oh, so it's like, it's pretty solid. Right on. The so do you feel some relief knowing that you likely will never have to be back?
No, if we break up, I'll go dating again. You know what? I would love to go back on the a dating site the way I am now.
Yeah.
I would have so much fun. I would be like, take me home. There's one guy that came. He didn't look like his picture at all. And I saw him. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. I didn't even want to go out with him. I took my dud date to this place called the Dancing Cat Saloon. It was a cool place close, which is hard upstate. And I go, do you want to go? You know, because no, I drove. It's 2 hours. And then he's like, but I can't see good. And he had like goggles on. He goes, I'm kind of blind. And he's going in the middle of the road. And I'm like, oh my God, he's blind.
Yeah.
So he goes, I have to leave when he was 2 hours early. He goes, I have to leave when daylight starts to go because I can't see.
Can't see at night. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's why I did the online dating thing for a little bit. It's crazy. I had some crazy experiences also. I had a girl, this is the only date I ever, like, I think that I ever walked out on that we were trying to, like, I met her at this place because I had a place also. I had a place I'd meet people. And the place I met people was strategically, it was a strategic place. Because it was close to downtown where I lived, where I'm like, if we're having fun, we can move to a second location. You know, but the we're trying to talk, and she's just, I mean, giving me nothing. Like, you know, like I say something, then you say something about that subject, and I absorb what you've said and respond in kind, like a conversation, you know. But I would be like, so what do you like to do in your free time? You know, it's like, you know, not much, nothing, just kind of hang out. And that's, and then silence. No, like, what about you? So, and you know, it's like, no. And so I'd be like, okay, do you like hiking? What kind of music? Just like, what kind of music? And you know, she would answer the question, but very like short, and then nothing. So then finally I go, do you like do you watch movies? She goes, oh, I love movies. And I'm like, oh, good. I'm like, I love movies. I'm like, let's something we can talk about. I go, what's your favorite movie? And she stops and she thinks about it. And then she looks at me. She goes, Freddy vs. Jason. And I go, what? And I laughed. No, I mean, like, you know, we all, like, I'm not saying that's not a entertaining movie in a certain aspect, but I wouldn't call it like a, it's not film, you know, it's not like a good movie.
Right.
It's not winning awards or anything. And I'm like, no, you know, I mean, like, we have guilty pleasure movies. I like bad movies too, but like, what's like, and she's like, no, that's like my favorite movie. And I'm like, I just look at her, I'm like, I don't think I can, you know, I think I have to leave. And I just put money on the table to pay for whatever I had drank. And I just, like, I gotta go.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I had Do Re Mi, the guy we call him on the date that made me sing in Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti Do, pretending a post was my son in China. I'm outside on the sidewalk singing Do Re Mi Fa. I couldn't believe I was doing it. And he came back here, and I had a picture of myself, and I had like extensions in my hair in the picture. And he's like, oh my God, that's boob hair. That's boob hair. I'm like, oh my, yeah, because it was, I don't know. I don't know how they act like that. Like, they think they're going to get a second date.
Well, here's the scary part, Tammy. The scary part is they also are going on a lot of dates. And apparently at some point they've had at least some interactions that the way they act gives positive reinforcement. Otherwise they would stop acting that way.
Yeah.
Like, you have to imagine at some point it worked and they're like, this is, I'm going to do this forever.
Oh my God. I also had a guy, he was in construction. See, my house was a big part of it then. And he was going to help me fix my house up. Again, too much texting before we meet. Comes all the way from Connecticut. And he has to stay over. You know, this is danger behavior, but I had no fear, you know, back. So he's drinking and drinking and drinking, and come to find out he has a DUI where he killed someone. And I think he was trying to use my place to hide out.
Oh, wow. So he didn't fix that load bearing wall or.
No. Yeah, he was drinking too many beers. Yeah. In fact, he drank so much beer in the car. I'm like, you can't go without a seatbelt up here. You're going to be pulled over by a state trooper. Sure enough, gets a ticket, pulled up. The second I say it, there's a state trooper behind me, whoop, 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 pulling him over because he doesn't have his friggin' seatbelt on. And he's got beers, as he called it, beer in the car.
Oh, my God. How did you find out about the DUI and killing someone?
He came again because we got along the first time. He slept on the couch. He was gonna fix my house and whatever. And I don't know. He's like, I had a DUI, and he goes, and they said I was drunk. I'm sure he was drunk. And then he didn't want it. His mother was calling. I know his ex-wife he was hiding out from, and they were calling here trying to find him, and come to find out from his mother, who talked to me on the phone, this was like, said he had it all until he drank so much and had a DUI, and he killed the person.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So he's hiding out from Connecticut to here because of the DUI, and he was drinking nonstop. I got rid of him, you know, of course.
Did you ever have any stalker situations?
Nah, not really. I had one who kept trying and changing his profile to get me, but that was, you know, that's light.
Yeah, that's nothing. Nothing too scary.
No, not too scary. Just somebody came here and sat on my couch telling me how mentally ill he was. Okay. That was a little weird. That he only eats eggs and his cats are weird.
Wait, what kind of eggs? How are they done? You know, because if he's only eating like, I only eat like poached eggs, that's a serial killer. If he's like, I like them over easy with a, you know, a tight slice of rye bread, you're like, this guy might be all right.
Yeah. Well, he taught mentally ill, and so we talked, and then, of course, texted too much. My dad taught mentally ill, so I'm like, oh, and his name was Danny. My brother's name's Danny. I'm like, oh, such coincidences. This is wonderful. And he shows up at my door in a sweater, sits on my couch, and talked for 3 hours. Comes out, he didn't teach mentally ill. He was like a counselor in like some type of group. Free thing. He didn't have degrees. He gained weight because he sat home and was depressed and had chub rub, as he told me. But he's walking up hills now.
Chub rub. What is chub rub?
I guess you get so chubby that when you wear your pants, it rubs and you get a rash.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going to say there's some other terms that could be used for, which I feel
like. I don't know. That's what I discerned.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. So is there a plan for a follow-up book about relationships now after 50, what it's like in being in an actual relationship or?
Yes, and there's also, I'm creating an app called Ageless. It's for people of my age, and I have a team working on it, actually. It's people of my age. It'll be like the Facebook for my age. They'll be dating in it.
I think Facebook for your age is just called Facebook. none of the kids are on Facebook anymore. They're all on Instagram or TikTok. So it's going to be like an all inclusive app for social media dating.
Yes. Cause there's a huge gap.
Yeah.
They don't have for older. It'll be Leisure World friendly.
Sure. Is there going to be like a verification where you have to be a certain age? You have to have like you have to show your AARP card to join?
No, I don't want to do that, but it'll be like $4.99 a year. So I don't think like 12-year-olds will be joining it. That should discourage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that, and then a second book. That my app though, I think will be great for people that are older because
Did you experience any any young guys like doing the cougar life thing, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of my friends did that. I guess they get flattered. They think it's a good idea. At least I didn't. I'm like, no. They'll come on. They're much younger. They're cute. They're like in their 30s. No, I never even went on a date.
You never got sucked in? You never thought about it?
No.
I feel like that's I feel like most, older.
I got sucked in. I'm different. I got sucked in on other ways that other people wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. Like how?
I kept having date after date with these guys and I guess accepting, like I should have immediately, when the guy came to my door with goggles, I felt bad for him. He drove 2 hours. I should have just said, no, you have to go home.
Yeah.
He's driving in the middle of the road. He can't see. Like, what am I doing? Just be
right. Just stay home and order a pizza. All right. Tell everyone, where they can find the book, how they can follow you, any updates on the app, things like that.
The app is in progress as we speak. I'm so excited about it. It's really going to be cool. People are excited about it. The business world's excited about it. So it's like my age and older, and it'll be very user friendly. You won't Like I put a picture on Facebook by mistake. It got out there. If I was an ageless, I wouldn't have been embarrassed. Okay. There'll be a special button they can hit to send it.
Got it.
To family and friends. So Ageless and Plenty of Fuck Ups is on Amazon. You just type it in. It comes on Amazon and you can buy the paperback.
Okay.
We don't have it on in what is that, digital
ebook. Okay.
Yeah.
How much is it?
I think it's like $5.99.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, but all the books on Amazon are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So you got to be competitive.
That's true. So, all right. Tammy, anything else before we get out of here today?
Yes. If anyone wants to join my Facebook group, The Sparkling Mystic, come and join it. I do card readings, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay. All right. The Sparkling Mystic. Check it out. Get your cards read. Get some advice on dating over 50. And with that, there you go. All right. Well, we are going to get out of here for today, guys. We appreciate you hanging out. Again, go to deescomedy.com. Check out the special, Not Your Cup of Tea. Get tickets for my upcoming live dates. I will probably be in a city near you in the next few months. Also, I have a special announcement coming soon about a brand new project I've been working on, why I took the first few months of this year off from the road. So keep an eye on the Instagram. We're going to be announcing that probably in the next week or two as you hear this. So that's it, guys, for the Social Hour. I've been Deese, and for Tammy, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we will see you guys next week.